Ro Dolla Flo Bigliani, along with my partner, Telly TJ Vangeli. This is Cross Vegas. After years of sowing seeds of faith as up-and-coming televangelists, TJ and I crashed into our new endeavor of being social mediators for the kingdom right here in Las Vegas. We're demonstrating the blessing that he wants for you in our latest project of prosperity at Cross Vegas. Come join us as we bring the redemption of riches to the Sin City. After all, what happens here stays in heaven.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
When you are looking for honest, true, reliable preparedness and health products, there is just one name you can trust, Jim Baker. Why don't you meander on over to store.jimbakershow.com. As always, that's Jim Baker with two Ks. You can remember that because 1K ain't enough and 3Ks, well, you know what I mean. But speaking of 1K, our Jim Baker highlight for today is the opportunity to be in the Hall of Profits as a gold member. By sending in $1,000, you can become a member of the Hall of the Prophets. Along with this incredible status, you will get this huge package that includes 2 PTL Voice of the Prophets mugs, 2 PTL Voice of the Prophets blankets, and on top of all that, you get your name on a plaque in the atrium of their building. They also ask you to send in your prayer requests that they can include in the foundation of the building with Bibles. So now you don't have to go to Cooperstown or Canton to be in the Hall of Fame. You just have to send $1,000 by check, credit card, or cold hard-earned cash to Jim Baker. And for those of you who are less elite in your faith, there is also the $500 Hall of the Prophets groundbreaker status. You don't want to pass up this opportunity, as well as many other products offered in the store, that is, the online store, store.jimbakershow.com.
All right, listeners, you know, the number one question we get, albeit with so few episodes underneath our belt, it still is the number one question. In fact, I think it is the one question we've gotten so far at least one time, but the most by far compared to other questions is, how did this whole Cross Vegas thing get going? How did you guys meet? What's your relationship to each other? Are you just strangers to each other? Are you bosom friends from time immemorial? So I think we should serve our listeners today by giving a little explanation of that.
That's a good point, TJ. And I, you know, some of our followers, if I may call them that, the listeners and the followers, they know me from what I was doing before this, and some of them know you, and some of them know us as an entity together. We've been brought together. So some of them are wondering, well, how did you both, I knew one of yous, and then something like that. So I thought, like you said, it'd just be so great today just to kind of tell a bit of our origin story and about how we met and how we got this whole thing going.
I think it started, right at the same time. It's always been a marvel to me that so many people have mentioned that they saw us both start up our social media presences around the same time. Like, who could have thunk two people would get on social media at the same time and start saying more or less the same sorts of things? And of course, we didn't coordinate that. That was the spirit. But, back in these days, I was an associate pastor before we met at Whosoever Will, Full Gospel, Full Anointing, Full Apostles of the Future Church in Dallas-Fort Worth. I was just, like anybody, I guess, going on TikTok, watching some dances. You know TikTok, where there's, like, somebody will do a dance, and then some other kid will do the same dance a little better, and then maybe you got like another video with two kids doing the same dance. Anyway, that's TikTok in a nutshell. But I was looking at that, and one of these times, this kid who's doing a dance, as they do, runs up to his own phone camera and says, "Let me pray for you." And I was shocked. I actually threw my phone down on the ground. I had to pick it back up again. and replay the video, I thought, how can he know I need prayer right now? And I realized there is something new going on in the spirit through our phones. And I thought to myself, you know how I had that thought? I could do that. Like when Dak Prescott throws that interception and you just think, I wouldn't have done that. You know, you just get that sense. I could do that too.
And, you know, I think both of us, we kind of grew up on watching televangelists and thought, you know what, that's our future right there. And we see the anointing of TV and what it brings to people and the way that changes their lives. And I think both of us around the same time kind of got awakened to how, you know, the new anointing is over social media.
Yeah, and it's kind of like on the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. I mean, it's kind of a disappointing passage, really. But then, you know, it's this failure of interpretation and imagination, because what does the very next verse say? Humanly speaking, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And after a bunch of years of people just dorking around on the social media, we realize this is the new harvest field, and we've been raised up as the harvest workers to go out and cut some sheaves of grain down and harvest them into our barns.
That's right. That's so well said. Just cut some sheaves down, toss them up into the air, store them in our barns. That's really what's happening. And we've been called out into this new harvest field growing up sprouts of Twitter, and as you said, you explained so well about TikTok and sprouts of,
yeah, we're the doomsday clock of TikTok. I mean, the Patronus of Patreon, snarling lips of Snapchat. There's any number of roles out there for us. The witch hunters of Medium, pipe cleaners of YouTube. I could go on, but in any case, In this time before we met, we were both having really the same development and remarkably similar theology, I would say, which is basically straight out of the scriptures, which is, you know, there's nothing more obvious than God's desire that spiritual health be supported by superlative physical health. I mean, you and I are obvious examples of that, and that our riches in heaven should be supported by superlative physical riches, which we're not yet exemplifying that in the way we will soon will.
Oh, of course, and it's just, how will people know that there's a spiritual movement among us, lest they see it, you know, with our riches, with the things that we have monetarily, and I think we're aligned with that, in which there's no way people are going to say, you know what, I'm going to follow them guys, unless they're able to see with their own two eyes that can see. They see the gold, they see the blessing, they see the riches. You can't see it if it's in heaven, I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
And yeah, you know, it reminds me of the story of Job. You know, there's a whole frankly boring part that gets it going for 40 chapters, and then what you've got is that Job winds up with a new and better wife, new and better children, new and better flocks of cattle, new and better skin without them unsightly boils. And the thing was that Job could see himself in a prosperous condition in spite of the, you know, the devil having killed his original inferior family.
Yep. You know, that story of Job really, I think people misunderstand that. And really, it is one of those things that we need to be thinking about in terms of what happened at the end. It's not about what happened in the beginning. It's not about all that boring stuff that you mentioned, which is necessary, but let's just get right to the good stuff.
Right, the good stuff, like, you know, when you see a fine luxury vehicle and you think, I'd like me one of them Lamborghinis. And that's a sign from God that you were destined for to own that sports car.
It's the same way.
He's put
when we drive,
he put that longing in you.
Exactly. When he puts that longing in you, the same way that when we go up and down the Vegas Strip and we see some of these casinos and hotels and we say, you know what? We want something like that across Vegas, but you know what? Better. How could I have thought of that myself? I couldn't have done that. It had to be the Spirit that said, you know what? You see that great casino and hotel? I want you to have something better. And then I say, oh, that's the real voice that I'm hearing. That's the voice from heaven.
And at every turn with our Cross Vegas project, which is to realize just what you've been describing, it's like Las Vegas only better and a realization of the coming of the kingdom of the Lord, that, that's what we're here for. And that's part of our incredible story. I mean, you just go from one glory to another. I was on just a road trip of self-discovery after an unfortunate departure from Whosoever Will. I called it glamping for God. You ever heard of glamping?
Oh, I've heard of glamping.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've done some of that in my day, I tell you what.
So I had a car top carrier tent, and boy, my socials lit up, you know, from my own posts. I posted, you know, pretty regularly. And I just was making my way west. I said, I can't go back to Whosoever Will. There's some unpleasantries there. I have to move on. And I just knew I'm going to take this road trip out west. And, I'm a big politico. I'm into the politics, into bringing the kingdom to bear on all the kingdoms of the states. And there are many kingdoms. There are 50 federal little kingdoms and the big one, you know, just all the kingdoms in America. And I'm just tweeting up a storm. I'm just letting everybody know exactly how terrible their liberal ideas are, and making my way slowly west, kind of aimless-like, but I drive into town and I'm still tweeting. I'm still TikToking a little bit. I'm still watching some TikToks. I got that kid running up to me saying he's going to pray for me on repeat. Don't suppose he's done the prayer more than once, but, you know, reminds me of it. I think right around then is when we had our glorious meeting, which was ordained by the Lord. In fact, neither of us really knew it was happening until it did.
That's right. It kind of ran up on both of us, but that's the way that he works, isn't it? And just to get you caught up there, I mean, my story is very similar. I mean, I was the same thing. Someone who knew they were drawn to minister in this way. I, as I said before, been brought up on televangelists. In fact, I even worked for one named Robert Tilden. Some of them know him, unfortunately, as Pastor Gass. But I'll tell you what, he was a pleasure to work for. And unfortunately, we didn't. My time with him kind of ran its course. But, I was wandering. I was having my time in the wilderness as a young man, a younger man. I tried setting up a church in an old Kmart, you know, when Kmart went down. I seized that opportunity, and I thought I saw a vision there and was going to do some radio, and that just didn't really pan out. But I kept feeling this sense that I was meant to be a media mogul, and I tried doing some work in film. And you know what? It wasn't what I expected, and it didn't really get me to where I wanted to go and where I felt I needed to go and the blessings that I felt were I was entitled to. But a learning experience, and some of that's just related to Sony. I feel like they sort of weren't really open to my ideas in the A-Firm Films realm. But But that also left me wondering, you know what, is there something else for me? And I went through kind of that that dark period, and there was some pressure put on me. I'll admit it, with the church that I'd had in that Kmart, and some people knocking on the door after wondering about certain things that I'd been spending my blessing on. And I don't need to go into a lot of details, but it was oppressive the way that the tools of the ministry were being scrutinized. You know, I felt I had the right to a baptismal boat. And I'm not talking about a boat where you send it out into the lake and you baptize people from it. I'm talking about a boat with a baptismal built into it.
Oh, glory.
And isn't that just the picture of beauty right there, where you're, it's almost like looking a mirror into a mirror. I mean, we got a boat being baptized and people being baptized on the boat. So all that to say, I was just feeling like I was being attacked by that Pharisaical spirit, and that kind of left me on my own road trip, if you will. And now I wasn't running from anybody. Let me make that clear. But I felt like, without going into all the details, you know, you give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but what if you ain't got nothing that you believe is Caesar's? You know, I mean, the only thing I had was Caesar's was a salad, and I'd already given that to him. And so it was time for me to get on the road, and I felt like there was a calling elsewhere. And similar to you, TJ, you know, you talk about having that TikTok moment. We're all, you know, I jumped onto some social media myself, and I realized there's something to this. I found myself tweeting and periscoping and going on Facebook Live and just seeing those emojis pop up. It was just kind of like an ordained drug that just hit my system. And so I also found myself wondering, could this be the new me? I've tried it with the brick and mortar, but now let me just stretch my wings and fly cyberly into this new reality. And that's when I found myself sitting in the front seat of a Ford Mustang, American made. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I'm on my way to Las Vegas, and I'm periscoping, I'm gaining followers, and I think that's kind of where our stories collide in more than one sense.
Yeah, and I don't know if I've ever heard of anyone else since Paul and Barnabas who met up under such auspicious circumstances where you just say it had to be the Lord. I suppose you're periscoping, I'm tweeting. I got TikToks up on my dashboard, playing out, I think, multiple devices, if I recall. Any road, I come to a sudden and abrupt halt against your vehicle outside of a vacant lot on the south side of Las Vegas. And I didn't know what hit me, but when I woke up and I looked into your eyes and all the people running around, I just knew this isn't my enemy. No, this is my co-plaintiff. We are on a mission together. I remember you praying for me, and I believe you healed me that day, and I've been forever in your debt.
Yeah, in that moment, and when I describe it, it's very hard because, you know, there was such a feeling of both spiritual exhilaration as well as physical pain. But I remember laying my hands on you and praying for you, and I felt like, you know, the blood pouring down my cheeks, which I realized at the time I was thinking it was like the Garden of Gethsemane, but really it was just some of the glass that was lodged into my forehead. And I don't even remember ceasing to pray, except that I woke up in the hospital. And I don't know if I had prayed myself into a coma or what had happened. But I felt a certain power that had been released from me, if you know what I mean.
I do, because I know I felt the same power. So you prayed for me while I was out. I was out cold, and then I think you really did pray yourself silly, and you passed out from the intensity of your prayers, and I started praying for you. And you know what? I started hollering so loud in my prayers, there were people who were coming over to help, and they turned right around because they knew the Spirit was at work, and my loud, boisterous prayers for your healing were going to be effective. And I think you, at a later date, recalled there was an ambulance that tried to come by, and it just kept on going because our prayers just prayed it away. Mm-hmm. But in any case, I also prayed myself into a coma, and we woke up then after those healing prayers in the hospital together.
Can you imagine what would have become of us if it was anybody else? TJ, if it had been anybody else, I don't know if we'd be sitting here having this conversation. It's like the Lord brought us together in this time, in this place, for this purpose, and He used that accident. And what we might think of is just a couple of young men getting a little bit caught up on their phones was actually the Spirit's work to draw us together into this moment of jubilee, because it wasn't just about us meeting. It was also about where the accident took place,
which was right outside an unsightly abandoned lot down on Mesquite Avenue on the south side of Vegas. And you know, as we started talking in the hospital, we realized, how on earth does someone get away with having a dangerous abandoned lot just sitting there in the middle of a city, just next to a road where cars would be passing? You know how dangerous it is to drive past a vacant lot? Mm. So incredibly, when we brought that argument before a judge, he didn't have nary to say against it, because he had somehow, another miracle, managed to assemble a jury of our peers, you know, and pretty unique individuals. So once you get some Vegasonans, or what do they call the Las Vegas restaurants? Residents, rather. I still don't know. I just call them Vegasonians.
Yeah, so we call them vegans sometimes.
Vegans?
Yeah, vegans.
Oh, yeah, vegans. Had that thought at the same time. That's ordained. But we bring in these vegans, these Las Vegans, and they don't disagree with us at all. They say, oh, that seems perfectly reasonable. There's some loose dirt, maybe some erosion that kicked up in the dry air and fall on the road from that vacant lot. So the vacant lot is, in a way, is a malicious actor in this automobile accident, or that this automobile anointing, an anointed appointment from the Lord. And the judge kind of turns to the defendant who owns that vacant lot. He says, you got any resources to draw from? If these fellas win this suit, as it looks like their peers are fixing a range for them. He says, no, that vacant lot's all I got. The judge turns to us and says, well, if you fellas want to sue for the property, you're free to do so. And we looked at each other, and I think at first we thought, why would we want a vacant lot in the shadow of some freeway in a city we'd never been in before? And then we both had that look in our eyes which said, no, why wouldn't we want a vacant lot in a city we'd never been in before?
That's right. Some people might look at two men who'd been kind of burnt by some things in their past and think, you know, this isn't a time for old wineskins. And who would want an old wineskin type of property? But, you know, this is not what we had in mind to just repeat. what we'd done before. No, no, no. This was a time for a whole new type of lifestyle as being social mediators. And the only way that we can be social mediators is with a property like this. And we didn't just see some dirty, dusty old Jericho. No, we saw hot soil. Hot soil that was pregnant with blessings. And so we get dropped to our knees and thank the Mighty One every day for this hot soil that we are even speaking to you from right now.
Yeah, we never did get rid of that car top camper I brought in, but that's neither here nor there. Well, folks, I hope this wets your whistle a little bit on just hearing something from us. You'll hear more as time goes on. We won't hold back from you. Vulnerability is kind of the currency among the youth these days, I've heard. So we'll try to sweeten that over time. Well, my brother, I believe Cross Vegas is concluded for today.
That's right, my social media matador. And thank goodness. And that I hope that clears up everything for all of you that have been asking about that.
Yeah, you can find the rest of our story over on Twitter. We just sort of made a long thread of that. If you just look up Thirst Trap of Living Water. Once again at our segment Turnt or Burnt, where we comment on the news of the day to some degree, try to do so in a little quicker manner. Some people have given us the feedback, you know, why don't you speed up your program just a little bit? And I say, well, I wanna have time to think. But anyway, turnt or burnt.
Feel free to hashtag any of these that you want to respond to yourself with hashtag turnt, hashtag burnt.
All right, first one up, Elvis impersonators. You know, I know where I stand on this. I don't know where you stand, Rudy, but there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens in Las Vegas. You know, that hot air balloon fireworks show thing that happens where there's, you know, you're seeing somebody bring a harpoon over to the Bellagio fountain to try to get one of them dolphins. You got centaurs getting on buses, that kind of thing. But which is all true, by the way. But one of the things that's characteristic of Las Vegas is Elvis impersonators, and I say these guys are turnt because they're performing weddings, traditional weddings, on demand. And you know what that prevents? That prevents living in sin. That prevents, you know, that chance to reconsider. And you know what? We're sealing the deal today. And I think that man, or whatever it is underneath all that gear, I think that person is doing the work of the Lord. I say turnt. What say you, brother?
Well, TJ, I'd have to agree with you there. That Elvis impersonator is 100% turnt. He is all the way turned up. I mean, someone who is upholding marriage between a man and a woman and not letting them jump into the sack without going first to the altar, I gotta say, that is straight up turnt, man. And it's one of those things that I think society wants to look over and say, oh, you know, that's just something that people do when they get real drunk. Let me tell you something. If you get real drunk, are you thinking of following the Lord in holy matrimony? Well, I'm going to tell you something. That Elvis impersonator is going to help you do that. And so I'm all about it.
All right, next up. Las Vegas Raiders. Turnt or burnt?
Well, you know, ever since they made their move from Oakland, they got a lot of criticism from some of the loyal Oakland crowd. But let's keep one thing in mind here. Now in Las Vegas, the Raiders are playing in a beautiful brand new stadium. And they're not playing on a baseball field anymore. I mean, playing football on a baseball field? Are you kidding me?
You don't want to run uphill. What are you going to run up onto the mound? You got to go over a little hillock to score a two-point conversion.
Absolutely. I mean, I swear I saw one of them players trip over the pitcher's mound, get caught up in second base before they made a first down. It's just disrespectful. So now they got their beautiful new stadium, and I know that their head coach Gruden looks like a Chucky doll, and I know their owner Mark Davis looks like he gets a haircut with a spoon, but in my opinion, this team is turnt.
You know, on this one, I'm going to disagree, because these people are coming to the stadium. They're still dressed as sort of Viking pirates. You know, where you're kind of, you got those tinfoil things up on your shoulder pads. And I just, when I see pictures of heaven in my children's action Bible that I keep by my bedside, I don't see any Viking pirates in the depictions of heaven. I see a lot of white faces. I see a lot of white robes. I don't see a lot of armor, except on the angels. So I say burnt.
All right. Well, you know what? We'll let them settle this one on the field. How about that?
All right. I can get on board with that. What about AF? You know, you see this on the social media. We're on all these platforms. You know, we're the pinpricks of conscience of Pinterest. You know, the flaming sword of grinder. We're all over the place. We're the Billies of Instagram. So, of course, everybody's using this hashtag AF. It's very important, apparently, to be something or another AF these days.
Well, I got to say, when it comes to AF, that is turnt. Completely turnt. I mean, and if you want to be relevant these days, and I'm saying this to all of our young people out there who are being aspiring social mediators themselves, you got to string together some of these little acronyms, you know. And so my favorite hashtag right now is I'm just inviting people into this life of prosperity. And so sometimes I'll just be like, are you, and not saying are you, but hashtag letter R, letter U. And instead of saying drawn to faith, I say DTF, RUDTFAF. That's my favorite hashtag right now. Getting a lot of love on that one.
You know, I love doing blessed AF. But, you know, it occurred to me, and by the way, I'm entirely on board with this being turnt, but it occurred to me that it's so turnt up that it's such a strong superlative that really we should be reserving it for the one truly superlative being, namely our Lord, because he's holy AF. He gives all the F's, whose name should be magnified AF by his people. I mean, I think we should be using that one pretty much exclusively for the Lord.
Ooh, you know, I never thought about that, but now I'm starting to, I mean, you got me convicted over here. It's kind of like back in the day when we was growing up and people were using the word awesome. Everything was awesome. And someone took me aside and said that should be only applied to the things of the Lord. And so you got me thinking about that one. Now I'm going to have to do some reading and theologizing about that. And I got to agree with you, though. You know, maybe I got to say it's turnt, but only AF, turnt AF for the only one who can AF.
PTLAF.
Witness says you go away one day to Saturday. When you says go away one tennis at a time.
Into a real powerful segment that we have of overcoming your weakness one dayness at a time. And, you know, it's with a kind of a messy heart that I come today and just share a little bit and be a little bit vulnerable about some of the things that I've been experiencing. And I just gotta be honest, you know, just a little while ago, there was a very, very important event in our nation's history in which there was some man that needed to go into the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. And they stormed into the Capitol and they did what needed to be done at that time. And you might think that I would be very proud of them and supporting them, even as I was watching this unfold on social media. You know, to be truly honest, and that's what the segment's all about, if I'm truly honest, that was not a good day for me. I was quite upset by it. I was disheartened. I was saddened. And it all revolves around just this feeling that I had that, you know, if you're looking for a white male spiritual leader to represent Christian spirituality that's birthed from the internet, then what did I ever do that these men would pass over me? I mean, I saw a man dressed in animal skin and a Viking hat, who appeared to be some sort of shaman, and as I found out later that he was sort of a self-proclaimed spiritual leader of that group. And you know, I can get my John the Baptist on with the best of them, you know, wear the animal skins. But if you're looking for a spiritual leader, I'm right here in Las Vegas. And I gotta admit to you, TJ, today in front of all our listeners, that I was real upset that I hadn't been asked to be the spiritual leader of that movement.
I sympathize with you. I wasn't really in the running for the same myself, but I think you would have been the best choice. And when you got people with parades, you got people giving speeches, you got people with all sorts of different outfits on. I mean, that speaks to some of our areas of expertise, yours in particular, though. I know that you're newer to the political realm than I, but I really did believe you should have been there too.
You know, I wish you would have said that on that day. I know that we weren't in the same geographical space at that time. And, you know, to be honest, I needed a brother to pick me up. And I know that in actual fact, weren't you, you were somewhere, were you in D.C. around that time? Where I know you had gone on a trip.
Yeah, it was a trip. I mean, it was in my official capacity. So you recall my relationship with Paulie White, who's the son of Paula White, and I was going to be am in this continued Trump administration an informal advisor to Paulie as he advises Paula White, his mother. As part of that Faith and Opportunity Initiative at the Office of Public Liaison. So, you know, I'm wrapped up in this government thing. And And you know what? So I've got that spiritual leadership role in relation to our nation as it is. You know, and sometimes I say, this is really the most spiritual presidency, speaking of the Trump presidency right now, the most spiritual presidency we've ever had, in that it's all spiritual and none actual. But you know, my role is, or I guess you could say, I'm in an acting capacity in this informal advisory role, but my role would have been to make sure the faiths are traded in priority order. You know, faith healers, then the Mormons, then the evangelicals and booters, then Israelis, then Jews, then those furniture-making, handsmade tale people, then the NASCAR prayer meeting folk, then the papists, then followers of Muhammad, and then that's, you know, the mediums who call up baseball greats at times going by. Anyway, just getting everybody in the proper order helps people understand where they stand. And sometimes you're standing under somebody else, and that's part of understanding.
You know, and I guess that's one of my problems right now, is I felt like I don't want to be standing under a man who's wearing a coyote skin with Viking horns. I want to be right there in the mix. You know what I mean? And I feel like, and I'm not just saying this, and I just want to make this clear, I'm not saying this because I'm full of jealousy, but I'm saying this because if you put the right people in the right places, then you have success. You put people on the bus and then you get them sitting in the right spot. And I feel like if I had been allowed to be the spiritual leader of that group on that day, that maybe that would have been an effort that would have seen not just spiritual success, which it did, but also it would have achieved its aim of shutting down that government on that day.
Well, I have to agree with the sentiment that they certainly deserved it. And, you know, all the media talk about it. And let me just take this opportunity to, in the name of the Lord, rebuke the news. I rebuke the news in the name of Jesus. But I think you might be taking it too harshly. I mean, when we were talking about who should be the leader, and you know, the shaman guy came up. He said, Jake is his name, Jake and Angelini. He seemed like a good choice to, you know, to the people who were involved in making that choice.
I mean, I understand that. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a Quanon. I wasn't really in the early stages of the Quanon movement, but I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit surprised you're not more upset at that. I know that in the political realm you're right there, but I'm surprised you're not more upset about it than you are. I mean, did you know any of them folks that was in the Capitol building on that day?
Well, you know, you see a lot of things on the socials, and following doesn't imply endorsement. So you know, I here and there, I think a couple of folks are, you know, liking and following back each other. And I mean the one thing's clear though to me, I mean, the worthiness of the effort that was being put in, what's clear to me, right, is that God has ordained from before the dawn of history that Christians should dominate the political and social culture of this great country for the few decades before the rapture, and that the once and future King Donald, president, rather, is his chosen instrument, specifically a trumpet, kicking brass and blowing hard. It's just the means by which this political and social rise is to be achieved is by lost elections and social ostracism. So, you know, I think it's like Luke 15:4, and I'm going to give you some big book energy right here, my friend. Luke 15, the angels are searching for and celebrating that one lost Trump vote and leaving the 99 losing Biden votes in the field, if you get my meaning. So I think there's, just as I'm in this position of spiritual administrative power in the spiritual presidency, this virtual presidency, I'm going to call it. I think you're going to have your day. I think you're going to have your day, and I don't think you should take this too hard.
Well, I appreciate that, and there's a feelings I have right now. There's a feelings I had right then, and I've taken them feelings and I nailed it to the cross. You know, I'm kind of over it. I feel like I needed to say it, but I also wanted to bring it up just so that we could have this conversation, because that what you just said there from Luke, that spoke to me. I think that sort of puts it all in perspective. But, but on that day, there was a lot going on social media. I was wondering what, I didn't really see a lot from you. I know you might have been wrapped up in some of your tasks you were doing. But where exactly did you sort of watch all these events unfold from when they were storming that Capitol?
Well, I was with my people. I don't want to give away their locations. Everything's getting canceled these days, and really for any the smallest thing. So I don't want to betray the trust of any of the people I was powwowing with that day. Just suffice it to say, sometimes we're the face of Jesus, and then sometimes we're his hands and feet. And other than the fingerprinting machines, it's harder for the image recognition software to get at the hands and feet. So I think that day I was more hands and feet, opening things, pushing things with my feet, but really just hands and feet, and you couldn't see my face at all.
That's right. And if I may add, there was, on that day in particular, there was hands, there was feet, there was poles, and that's, we can add that to it. Were his hands, were his feet, were his poles. But I, as I said before, I've nailed it to the cross, and it was very helpful for me just to get that out there. And I hopefully it's helpful for you listeners too, to hear my heart and where I'm coming from, and to help put a new sort of perspective on those events on that day.
Thank you, my brother. Well, folks, we're at the end of our time. You can always look up all our old tubes on the YouTube. You can find us at H as in Hezekiah, T as in Tell It on the Mountain, T as in Tell It on the Mountain Twice, P as in Prophetic Prophecy, S as in Sexy Samson, colon as in Colonoscopy, Get Your Darn Robot Out of There, Exit Only, thank you very much, // as in Low, Low Prices, www, as in World Wrestling Web dot, as in, that dot is fake. It's not the real or the end of the sentence. So Y as in YouTube, O as in Oral Roberts Sr., U as in You Know Who, T as in Tubular, B as in Beanie Baby Collection, had got to appreciate and value soon. I'm believing in faith for that windfall. E as in Everything You Ever Wanted Through Prayer. Dot, we've been over that. C as in Cannibals Are Real, Look It Up, Snowflakes. O as in Oral Roberts Jr. M as in Money Making Millennium. Then once you're there, you just add the little bit that goes WTH ?V equals sign capital Q, capital G, C, Q, capital L, 4G, 580Q. Some of those are capital letters. I think you can figure that one out.
All right. Well, that was as clear as can be, my friend. So I'd like to thank all you listeners. And as always, just hit us up. We're always available on every platform of social media. And we're coming to you today from Cross Vegas, Nevada, right across the street from Las Vegas, the city that never sleeps.
Amen. AF.